It's a Wednesday morning, which means it's time to chat with our expert from Weill Cornell University here at Qatar Foundation. And joining me on the phone is Dr. Shabal Abi Khalil. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. I'll let you start by giving us a little introduction and telling us about yourself.
Okay, so my name is Shabal Abi Khalil. I'm an assistant professor of medicine and an assistant professor of genetic medicine at Weill Cornell Medicine in Qatar. And also I'm a cardiology consultant at the heart hospital at HMC. So I do pretty much of research at Weill Cornell, mainly related to cardiovascular disease.
Perfect. And today the topic we are chatting about is all to do with cardiovascular issues and problems. I'm not too good with the technical talk, so I am going to leave the technical names up to you. But we're basically...
Okay, I'm just I'll try as much as I can to say them, like, you know, in a very simple way.
Perfect. That's great. So, I mean, in short, today we're talking, speaking really about heart attacks, aren't we?
Yes, exactly. So in fact, we're going to talk about myocardial infarction, which is like the medical word, or what is commonly known as heart attack, which is basically a pathology that happens when blood flow stops to a part of the heart muscle. You know, the heart is irrigated by arteries known as the coronary arteries. So basically, a heart attack happens when blood is suddenly not giving enough blood to the muscle.
Okay, and it's certainly, I mean, I think for a lot of people all around the world, cardiovascular disease is a big killer, isn't it, really? It's one of the biggest health problems that we face internationally, not just, you know, potentially here in Qatar.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in all of the recent studies, it has been shown that cardiovascular disease mortality is the number one all over the world, and it is followed by number two, which is cancer. Mm-hmm. So this is almost universal. And unfortunately, with the people aging more, and people having more and more sedentary lifestyle, not moving enough, getting obese, getting diabetes, so the prevalence of cardiovascular disease is increasing worldwide, and pushing the mortality, the related mortality, to upper levels.
And being here in Qatar, have you noticed perhaps any kind of pattern, or you know, what is the case rate kind of like here in Qatar locally?
Yeah, in fact, the trend of cardiovascular disease in Qatar is very much similar to the rest of the world. Like people who are 45 years of age and older do really die from cardiovascular disease. However, there are like some specificities of cardiovascular disease and heart attacks in Doha. So there was a lot of studies done by my colleagues at the heart hospital that showed that the risk factors associated with cardiovascular disease and with heart attacks in Qatar are more important and are much more prevalent than elsewhere. For example, like patients in here are usually younger than elsewhere. They have heart attacks at a younger age. They have higher diabetes prevalence, higher hypertension, and as well high cholesterol levels. Mm-hmm. If you want to compare them to Western countries, to European countries and North American countries.
So certainly a big concern here amongst some of other, I guess, top health risks. As you mentioned, there were diabetes is, of course, one very prevalent condition we have here. And also, of course, heart attacks come in different kind of forms, I guess. It's not just, you know, cardiac arrest. There are obviously varying degrees. But what are some of the symptoms that people, you know, might want to familiarize themselves with? Or how do people feel when they are having a heart attack?
Yeah. So basically, in order to understand the heart attacks and the symptoms that are caused by that, it's important to go back to the pathophysiology, or in simple words, to how does it happen. Mm. So usually a heart attack or myocardial infarction happens when there's an atherosclerotic plaque, or in simple terms, like just a fat plaque, that obstructs the artery, so the heart begins ischemic, and suffer. So the symptoms associated with heart attacks are usually chest pain, a severe chest pain. Like, patients will come and tell you that I feel that somebody has put a knife on my chest. The chest pain like lasts for a long time, ideally or typically more than 20 minutes. It could radiate to the left shoulder, to the neck, to the jaw. And there are also other symptoms that are like associated, like shortness of breathness or dyspnea. Some patients do sweat. Some patients do vomit. Other ones that have like a more severe image could faint or could do a collapse. But mainly, if there's something that is almost universal, it is the chest pain. Mm. Although people who are like older, like 75 years old, can have what we call like the atypical symptoms. You know, their chest pain is, they just feel some discomfort, but it's not like the real chest pain that happened in younger generations. Mm. So that is mainly it. So even like when we put the diagnosis of a heart attack, we are based on three major things. First, the symptoms that are the chest pain, and second thing, the EKG changes. So whenever a patient has a heart attack, he goes either call the ambulance or goes to the hospital, and they're like typical electrical changes that we see on the EKG. EKG mm-hmm. goes for an electrocardiogram, and there are specific cardiac markers in the blood that we can measure. So it's like usually the combination of this triad that help us put the diagnosis of a myocardial infarction or a heart attack.
Okay, perfect. If you'll hang on the line, we'll go to a song and take a break. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the treatment of these conditions and also prevention, which is always better than cure. So if you'll stay on the line, we'll come back soon.
Okay, great.
Oh, she may be weary. Them young girls, they do get weary wearing that same old shaggy dress, yeah, yeah. But when she gets weary, try a little tenderness, yeah, yeah. Oh, man, that. You know she's waiting, just anticipating for things that she'll never, 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 never possess, yeah, yeah. But while she's there waiting, and without them, try a little tenderness. Gotta do. It's not just sentimental, no, no, no. She has her grief and care, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the soft words, they all spoke so gentle, yeah. It makes it easier, easier to bear, yeah. You won't regret it, oh no. Young girl, they don't forget it. Love is their home, happiness. All you gotta do is try a little.
no, no, you got to love her, Dina, no, Dina, got to drop, man, 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 drop, drop, little, 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 yeah, what to do, you got to know what to do, man, take this advice, you gotta.
This is QF Radio on 91.7 FM. It is Wednesday morning, which means we're chatting with one of our experts from Weill Cornell University for Ask the Expert, and it's all about cardiovascular health and in particular heart attacks today. We have our doctor patiently waiting on the line. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you so much for joining us. And just before the break, we were chatting a little bit about what causes a heart attack, what is a heart attack, and some of the symptoms that people should look for or what are associated with heart attacks. But what about treatment then for those who have had heart attacks or, you know, those who are being monitored?
Yes, exactly. So the treatment depends usually on the kind of the heart attack or kind of myocardial infarction. If you can divide like the myocardial infarction in two big classes, that the first one was we call the ST elevation myocardial infarction. ST refers to a segment on EKG that is usually elevated. In simple words, when we have like what we call the ST elevation myocardial infarction or the STEMI, it means that the infarction is transmural, that all the muscle is affected, suffering, is not receiving blood at all, which is like the worst condition. And the second subtype is what we call the non-ST elevation myocardial infarction or a non-STEMI. This is somehow sub-endocardial infarction. It means a part of the muscle, but not all of the thickness is infarcting or is not receiving blood. So basically the treatment, there are like some similarities between both, but there's always an emergency when we have an ST elevation myocardial infarction. So the initial therapy is based on three aspects. First, we have to relieve the patient from any pain he's feeling. We have to stabilize him. And we have just to open the vessel that is closed. And in order to do this, there are like medications, like antiplatelets, anticoagulation drugs. But most importantly, we have to open it manually by a percutaneous coronary intervention, what we call PCI. So it's like a sort of a guide we put inside the heart vessels. We do thromboaspiration. It means we take out the thrombus and the clot that was closing the vessels. And often we put a stent. So most importantly, this should be done really, really, really quickly. Mm. So most of the studies recommend that should be done like a maximum of 2 hours whenever we start feeling the pain. Mm. Otherwise, we could lose some of the heart function in the near future. So most importantly, we keep in mind that we have a blood vessel that is closed and we have to open it manually. Sometimes, usually like 10 or 20 years ago, and even sometimes in some you know, villages, whenever the percutaneous coronary intervention was not available, people just used the medication or what we call the fibrinolysis. These are good, but not as good as the PCI. Mm-hmm. Hopefully here in Doha, the heart hospital, we have a big center of interventional cardiology, and whenever a patient feels this, he's taken directly to PCI, to percutaneous coronary intervention. For the other aspect, for the non-ST elevation myocardial infarction that is also dangerous but less risky than the other one, there are multiple approaches and multiple medications that are given at the same time. But at the end, we also have to do the percutaneous coronary intervention, but not as urgent as the first one, because in the first one, there could be a necrosis of the muscle if it's not saved, and which could lead really to life-threatening conditions and future heart failure.
I mean, it's great to know, as you say here, we've got great facilities. So hopefully we're not scaring too many people out there. But obviously, we have got good treatment facilities here in Qatar, luckily. And really, I mean, something we always emphasise here on the show is prevention being better than cure. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, if we're looking at how we could prevent cardiovascular disease and heart attacks, we're looking at lifestyle choices as a primary base, really, aren't we?
Yes, exactly. So in order to prevent heart attacks, we have to prevent what we call the cardiovascular risk factors that cause the atherosclerosis and the formation of a plaque and the rupture of it. So basically, there are like two approaches, and sometimes they are done simultaneously. The first one, as you just said, lifestyle changes, which is very important, especially in GCC countries and in Qatar, where there's a high level of sedentary lifestyle and obesity and smoking. So the lifestyle changes are eventually like smoking cessation, losing weight, even in patients who cannot really lose weight, at least aiming for a stabilization of weight. And most importantly, a regular physical exercise. You know, we cannot ask people who are like 60 years old to run 2 hours per day. But eventually, even like moderate but a regular physical exercise has shown to be very beneficial. So these are like the lifestyle changes. But sometimes you also need to give medications. So when we give the medications, we are treating the diseases that accelerate the atherosclerosis. For example, if a patient has diabetes, so his diabetes should be really taken care of. If he's got dyslipidemia, or what's known as high cholesterol level, he should have some medication for it. His hypertension also should be treated. And sometimes, even if in high risk patients who have all of this, we can give some aspirin on the long term. So these are basically the two main approaches for the prevention. I mean, just we have to say that unfortunately, despite everything, some patients usually develop heart attacks. In this case, you know, we cannot deny the presence of some genetic